Scripture reading for today is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. Just a quick note on that, thinking about this letter from Paul. It's a, seems to me, an admonishment and an exhortation to the early Christians in Corinth. And it's as though some of them were putting on a new religion over their old culture, rather than seeing all things through the lens of the gospel and making a clean break with the immoral aspects of their culture. And it just, these admonishments and exhortations are, to me, every bit as useful today as they were 2,000 years ago. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. However, among the mature, we do speak of wisdom, but not a wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age who are come to nothing. On the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery, which God predestined before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age knew it, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen and no ear has heard, and what has never come into a man's heart, is what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, God has revealed them to us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the concerns of a man except the spirit of the man that is in him? In the same way, no one knows the concerns of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, in order to know what has been freely given to us by God. We also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. But the natural man does not welcome what comes from God's Spirit, because it is foolishness to him. He is not able to know it, since it is evaluated spiritually. The spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything, yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. For who has known the Lord's mind that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Please keep your Bible's open to that passage, if you would, please. I love this passage. I absolutely soak myself in this passage. It is, there's something here so powerful for God's people. And I hope I'm able to convey that today. So let's this is going to be helpful to you. I look at, you know, when Jesus walked among us, and when Jesus looked at earthly facts, he saw beyond them. He saw behind them. And he saw the heavenly truth behind those earthly facts. And armed with that, he dealt with life in a way that was marveled at then, even by his adversaries, and is still marveled at today, centuries later, even by his adversaries. Is this power, this way of seeing and thinking, is that power available to us today? For us then to take this way of seeing and thinking and negotiate life, and in order for us to do that, I think we would have to actually have the mind of Jesus. We would have to think like him. We'd have to see things like him. That's what's going on here. We want effective asking prayer. You wanted to have a prayer that when you ask, it's effective and powerful, don't you? And Jesus says, This is review, but it's important because we lose track of this, I think. Jesus gave two requirements in order to have effective asking prayer. He said, first of all, you got to have faith and confidence in him. Please never lose sight of these two requirements. They are requirements for effective asking prayer. You have to have faith and confidence in him, number one. Number two, you have to ask like he would ask. He called it asking in my name. Effective asking prayer, then, is dependent on effective receiving prayer. Prayer is not just when we ask. Prayer is time and communication with God. If you want effective asking prayer, it is dependent on how you do with your receiving prayer. Because in receiving prayer, the Holy Spirit himself teaches us and transforms us. Teaches us and transforms us. When you have effective receiving prayer, what do I mean by that? Study of the Word is receiving prayer. It's when you receive from the Spirit. You're communicating with the Spirit. It's coming into you something, and the Spirit teaches you during receiving prayer. And when you have effective receiving prayer, you receive the two requirements for effective asking prayer. I hope that made sense. Because I'm telling you, this is the nugget of this passage, and it is the nugget in order for us to have an effective, dynamic, powerful, asking prayer life. Because I can't muster up the two requirements, can you? I can't. I've tried. I can't muster up faith in Jesus, and I can't muster up the type of request that would be synonymous with the way Jesus would ask. That's beyond my ability. It's not possible. But when I have receiving prayer, they're imparted to me. Those two things come to me through the Holy Spirit. Tracking? I start to trust Jesus more. And I start to think differently. You do too, don't you? When you have effective receiving prayer, you know how it is. You know how your day is when you don't start it with receiving prayer. You know how it goes. You know how you react. You know how you see something, and you know what thoughts come into your head. Unless I am singular, unless I am completely different, I know the difference in how I negotiate life, in how I think, and how I see things. Now, when I have effective receiving prayer, I find that the two requirements for effective asking prayer are there. They show up. They become organic for me. I have more trust in him, and I start to think like him. I start to have the mind of Christ. I start to then ask for things the way he would ask. And that brings us to this passage. And again, I said I love this passage. Because in this passage, Paul talks about two spirits. This is a passage of contrasting things, contrasting ideas. Two spirits, two wisdoms, and two ways of thinking and seeing, and ultimately then, to our point, two ways of praying. This passage was written, as Dave said, to the Corinthian church by Paul. Because there was a major problem in the Corinthian church that prompted him to write this passage. And see if you can contemporize this into our modern world. We're going to transpose this, as I said, into a 21st century key as we read this. And the problem with the Corinthian church is immaturity. Immaturity. The word Christian had not been coined yet when Paul wrote this. The word Christian. Paul, a Christian was someone who had the Spirit of God. He did not call them Christians. He called them those who had the Spirit of God. So he's writing to the Corinthian church because it was racked with immaturity. And because it was racked with immaturity, they thought differently, they saw things differently, they acted differently, they negotiated life differently, and they prayed differently. So, if you have your Bibles open, I know that the Spirit will bless you today. I know that you're gonna be able to deal with things in your life differently from unpacking this passage. However, verse 6, Paul starts, however, we do speak a wisdom among the mature. Well, right there is an invitation. Right there is Paul's laying out an invitation for us and for you. Because when Paul says that, I say, well, I want to be one of those mature. I want to see what this wisdom is about, this Paul's talking about. But he says, but not this wisdom that he's talking about for the mature. It's not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. This wisdom that Paul's going to contrast with God's wisdom has a very short shelf life. It's coming to nothing, and the people who espouse it are also coming to nothing. On the contrary, here we are, the contrasting. On the contrary, here's God's wisdom. We speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery. Here's a contrast. The world's wisdom is out there, easy to see, easy to discern, easy to grab a hold of. But Paul says, now, I'm going to contrast God's wisdom. First of all, it's hidden. And it's hidden in a mystery. That's number one. The second thing that it is, and how it's different from the world's wisdom, is it predated. It pre-existed the world's wisdom. God's wisdom was from before the ages even began. So here we have the world's wisdom comes along, and it intrudes itself and insinuates itself into God's world. And as a result of that, it brought with it a different way to think and see. The way you think and the way you see your earthly facts is dependent on which wisdom you've bought into. Now, here we have God's wisdom compared to the world's wisdom. God's wisdom is hidden. God's wisdom pre-existed the world's wisdom. Got it? Those two things. It's hidden. And it pre-existed the world's wisdom. The world's wisdom, as I said, intruded, insinuated itself into God's world and brought with it a whole new way to think, a whole new way to see. None of the rulers, verse 8, of this age knew this wisdom. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That makes sense. But, verse 9, But Paul says, but it's understandable. It's understandable that the world and the rulers of the world don't have or understand this wisdom. Paul says, I get it. Paul is describing two wisdoms, and there is an unbridgeable gap. I want you to remember that phrase. There is an unbridgeable gap between the way the world thinks and the way God thinks. It's unbridgeable. And it is certainly, and verse 13 later, I'll explain this, it is certainly not bridgeable through synchronization. What's that mean? Synchronization means we do not incorporate a little bit of the world's wisdom with a little bit of God's wisdom, and thereby we meet in the middle. See this? It's unbridgeable. God's wisdom is hidden. God's wisdom predates. God's wisdom preexisted. The way to think, the way to see, preexisted. Here's the world's wisdom. It's very easy to discern. Everybody understands it, and it's out there, but it brought with it something that God had not intended into his world, and also something into your life that God had not intended. Two options, two ways to negotiate life, and ultimately, two ways to pray. This relates to how you pray. Verse 9, Paul says, but it's understandable because it's written. Something's written about the contrasting wisdoms. What is it? Well, what no eye did ever see, what no ear ever heard, and what never entered what? The human mind. Normal eyesight, remember it's hidden. Normal hearing and normal thinking, what we call normal thinking, the human mind, can't bridge this gap. Cannot volitionally, you may say, well, I want God's wisdom, so I'm just gonna bridge the gap with my human mind. Paul says that's impossible. If you're counting on your human natural abilities to understand God's wisdom, Paul says, not happening. You can't even imagine it. Your mind can't even fathom it. God's wisdom. So Paul says, it's understandable. What has never entered the human mind, God prepared this. What? God prepared the what's. I call them the what's. I like that phrase. The what's. What is never, what we've never seen, what is what we've never heard, and what has never entered into our mind. The what's God has prepared for who? For those who love him. That is such a Pauline phrase. For those who love him. What's the requirement? Every promise in Scripture has a requirement. What's the requirement here to bridge this gap? Please understand this. This is an unbridgeable gap. We do not bridge through synchronization. Paul just gives us the way to bridge the gap. How do we get there? What is required of you? What is required of me? For those who love God. Those who love God. Verse 10. Now, right, read that presently. Now, in the present, God has revealed these things to us. Who? Who's us? Good. Good. Those who love him. Now, in the present, right now, today, in this little church, Possum Run Road, with the Newville family, right now, if you love God, it's revealed to you. His wisdom is revealed. And I hope that it's going to be opened up to you today, the more we get into this. It's fascinating. God has revealed these things to us, how? By the Spirit. By the Spirit. When does that occur? Receiving prayer. This does not happen in a vacuum. Now, you know that's true. You know that the Spirit does not just unilaterally pick you up and bring the wisdom into your head. You know that something is required of you, and it is something that's required of me. I need to take my time and receive teaching from the Spirit. It does not just occur. Even Jesus, our Lord, had to go through receiving prayer. Jesus, our Lord, had to be taught by the Spirit. And we are in a state of receiving prayer. When we do that, revelations come. These things are revealed to us by the Spirit during receiving prayer. Why, Paul? Because the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. What are these things, then, that are revealed to us? during receiving prayer? Two things. The what's, what you've not seen, what you've not heard, what you can't even imagine, what's never entered your mind. The what's are revealed to you, and something else, the depths of God. Even the depths of God. You see, this is where we have a different concept of God than the world. The world has an idea and a concept of God. The world has fashioned God into a being that they can domesticate. They have fashioned God into a being that meets their understanding. Please get this, because they're dealing with the human mind. Remember what Paul said, the human mind can't get there, can't understand it. So the world fashions God according to their limited understanding. And Paul says it's understandable because that's what they're functioning on. That's what they're running on. But you who love God, you God lovers out there, you God lovers who take time in receiving prayer are going to be taught directly by the Spirit himself, and the Spirit himself is going to reveal and give you two things. The Spirit is going to give you the what's, and the Spirit is going to give you even the deep things of God. Now, that is powerful, and that is a privilege, and that is something that I like to experience. I want to experience the deep things of God. Without this teaching, if you do not participate in receiving prayer, and I have no idea if you do or not, if you don't participate in receiving prayer, you don't have a clue. You don't have a clue. You really don't understand God. You don't understand the what's. And you will find yourself thinking and seeing and reacting to earthly facts the same way the world does. We're to live differently. We're to be Christ-like. We're to be able to negotiate life differently. You want to have a powerful testimony to people? Negotiate life differently. With the same seeing and the same thinking that Jesus did. He changed Western civilization because he thought and saw this way. If you don't do receiving prayer, your asking prayer gets skewed. Tracking? Verse 11. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man? But there is an exception. There's an exception, Paul says, except the spirit of the man that is in him. You don't know my thoughts. I don't know your thoughts. There's only one person. There is one entity that knows my thoughts, and it is the Spirit within me. And there is only one entity that knows your thoughts, the Spirit within you. So Paul is saying, it's like this. For men, no one knows except the Spirit of the man. Then in the same way, following along here, verse 11, that's a very Pauline phrase also. In the same way, he uses that in his writings. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God. Underline that, no one. No one knows the thoughts of God except, well, there's another exception, except the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God knows the thoughts of God. Let's connect the dots. Here's God the Father. The Spirit knows the thoughts, and the Spirit, who now knows these thoughts of God, teaches those who love him the thoughts of God. Wow. What? You mean God is knowable? You mean I can know God's thoughts? Oh yes, says Paul, you can. You can know God's thoughts. The Spirit himself, during receiving prayer to those who love him, reveals, remember, God's wisdom is hidden. It's hidden. And it predates the world's wisdom. And now the Spirit, during our receiving prayer time, I'm going to push that on you heavily today in case you don't notice that. During your receiving prayer time, you are going to, what a privilege. You are going to be taught by the Spirit, and you're going to be taught the very deep thoughts of the Creator of the universe. Now, that takes me back to grasp that concept. And I've experienced it. And I'll bet you have too. Aren't there times during receiving prayer when you get a concept or an idea or a thought that is just like, whoa. Do you get that? And it's so profound that it rattles around in your head for a while and you can't even really grasp it for a while. And finally it settles down and you understand what just happened and the Holy Spirit just taught you a deep thing of God, just taught you a thought of God. So God shares his thoughts with you. God shares his thoughts with me. Why is that important? Because you think and you see differently. You start to negotiate life and deal with life differently. You don't deal with life like the world does because they're limited. You, as one who is a God lover, you now deal with life as a God lover, and you base that dealing of life on the very thoughts of the creator of the universe that has come into your head. Verse 12, now we have not received the spirit of the world, but we've received the spirit who comes from God, armed with the thoughts of God, armed with the thoughts of God, so that, maybe circle that, whenever you see that in Paul, he's about to explain the previous statement. Here's a statement, here's what Paul does. He makes a statement, and then he says, this God did this so that the following can occur. Okay, so you've not received the spirit of the world, Paul says. You've received the spirit that is from God, and you've received that spirit from God for a reason. For a reason. So that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. We may understand the what's, and we may understand the thoughts of God. What has been freely given to us by God? Paul, what are you talking about? Well, he says, I just explained it. I just told you. God's thoughts, the deep things of God, they're freely available to you, God lovers. They're out there. The Spirit will give it to you. You'll be different. You'll be transformed. You will receive from the Spirit, and then you will ask differently. What is the one thing that the Spirit of God... Well, let me rephrase that. I try and explain to my boys the way this country used to be. And I'm not quite sure they can grasp it. Because, you see, there's a new wisdom in town. There's a new way of thinking in this country. And it has intruded and insinuated itself into our culture. Amen? Got it? So I try to tell my boys, you know, this is how it used to be. You know, like I'm one of those old timers. I used to walk 10 miles to school up and, you know, in the snow, all of that stuff. But I say to the boys, this is how the country used to be. This was the pervasive thinking in the country. This is how people used to be. This is how the attitudes used to be. Teresa and I are watching, we just finished watching a Band of Brothers. If you've never seen that, it is excellent. And it is put out about the World War II conflict and how this country rose to the occasion to defeat evil and the way people used to think in this country. And I thought the Band of Brothers just brings this out. I'm giving it to Tori to read or to watch because it is very, very powerful. And in that series, I said to Tommy, he said he watched it and he turned me on to it. And I said to Tommy, this is how the country used to be. This is how things were. This is how we thought. These were the values, goals, and commitments in our nation. And the Band of Brothers brings that out. And so here we have the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that was hovering over a primordial earth in Genesis 1. This is fascinating to me. And that same Holy Spirit, I'm going to use terminology that we're at the borders of language, so I don't know how else to say it. But this same Holy Spirit remembers how it used to be. This same Holy Spirit remembers the Edenic relationship that we had with each other, that we had with creation and that we had with God. And this same Holy Spirit now is trying to teach God's people, this is the way it should be. This is the wisdom that predated what insinuated and intruded on God's world. And what was the hallmark, what was the outstanding thing about life and about earth and about humanity that the Holy Spirit remembers from Eden? Here it is. God was glorified. God was glorified in those days. It was the top of the ladder. And everything else trickled down from that. And it was good. Because when God is glorified, everything below that on that ladder is good and is as it should be. And the Holy Spirit, like me with my boys, the Holy Spirit is trying to get across to God's people, if God's name is glorified, everything else in your life will fall into line. And this is how we should think. This is how we should see. When Jesus looked at earthly facts, he saw goodness. He didn't see disharmony. He didn't see sin. He saw the way it used to be. He saw the way it should be. Because the Spirit that remembered Eden, that remembered when things were perfect, brought those thoughts to Jesus, and he saw, as it were, right through the earthly fact. I just can picture this. It's like the earthly fact was transparent. And when Jesus would look at the little girl laying in bed and they said she's dead, Jesus looked right through that earthly fact and he said, nope, she's only sleeping. Are you getting this? Can you see what this would do for us? Because you've got earthly facts. And the Holy Spirit of God is saying, now there's something hidden. There's something hidden about that earthly fact. And it's back behind it. And the trick is, the Spirit says, the trick is to not buy into the way the world looks at earthly facts. The trick is for you to have the wisdom from God to see right through that earthly fact and see the heavenly truth behind it. Changes how you think, changes how you see, and changes how you pray. Because if we buy into that concept and you go to prayer, what are you going to pray for? What's the number one thing you're going to pray for? What's the number one thing Jesus told his disciples to pray for? That's right. For God to be glorified. Now, can you do that? Stop spending your time trying to change the earthly fact. Rather, spend your time asking God to be glorified in and through that earthly fact. And God will answer that prayer every single time. You buy into his prime directive. You see, you pray with God. And the only way you will do that is when the Spirit himself teaches you and says to you, this is how it should be. You see, this is the way it was. See through that and see God's truth. Because God's truth is hidden behind that earthly fact. It's there. And Jesus saw it every single time. Martha, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? The Spirit that comes from God so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God, God's thoughts. Verse 13, we also speak these things. Now here's where the bee in my bonnet's going to buzz a little bit. We also speak these things, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. We also speak these things. What things, Paul? Well, the depths of God and the what's. We're here today, and we're speaking these things. Now, I'm not going to synchronize it so that you understand it by using worldly wisdom. I'm not going to do that. There's a difference between church and evangelism. Buzzing bee. We do church. I'm going to speak spiritual truths to spiritual people. I'm not going to
try and bridge the gap between the world's wisdom and God's wisdom by meeting the world's wisdom halfway, done too often in church. But then you say, well, is it really church? Church to me is exactly what's happening right now. I'm explaining spiritual facts to spiritual people. And Paul says, when you do that, verse 13, when you do that, don't try to explain it in words taught by human wisdom. Do you see this? Because we're talking about the what's. We're talking about the deep things of God. And the minute you substitute worldly human wisdom so that the human mind can understand the deep things of God, you've changed them. You have to. There's a difference between church and evangelism. Billy Graham was an evangelist. God bless him. He did great work. His theme was repentance. His theme was that people would receive the Spirit. And that's necessary. But then what? See, how long do we stay on that theme? Isn't there a time for God's people to go up to explaining spiritual things to spiritual people and use different terminology and words that the world isn't going to understand? That's not my job really right now. My job is you. My job is to explain this to you because I know that you are spiritual people. I know that. And I know that you are having the Spirit will understand what I'm saying to you. But the unbeliever does not welcome what comes from God's Spirit. Why? Because they're out of the loop. They're out of the loop. It's foolishness to him. He's not able to understand it. But you are able to both welcome and understand it. You see, verse 15, the spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything. You can welcome it and you can understand it. Stop thinking that it is beyond your ken to understand Scripture because you have the Spirit, and Paul says, really, there's no excuse. You can and you will welcome it if you're taught by the Spirit. And if you're taught by the Spirit, you'll think differently, you'll see differently, you'll pray differently, you'll see through the earthly fact to the heavenly truth behind it. Let me tell you something, this will change your life. Stop slogging along, shackled by those earthly facts. See behind them, like Jesus did. Nothing got to him. The night before he's going to be killed, when he, in John 17, the very first thing he says in that astonishing prayer, he says, Father, the time has come for me to glorify you, and the way it's going to happen is my crucifixion. See, so plugged in was he to the glory of God in his life that he even is able to say that? And then Paul ends with the astonishing statement. When he just gives all these contrasting, look at the final statement there. You have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. And therefore, you'll pray in Jesus' name. Paul concludes this, that those who have the Spirit and are taught and guided by the Spirit, we're ending here, those who are taught by the Spirit and guided by the Spirit through receiving prayer and thereby having the mind of Christ, you know what's going on. Don't you? You know what's going on behind those facts. You know what matters. And you are therefore enabled to pray according to his will. You're able to pray in Jesus' name in and through this Spirit teaching receiving process. Did this make sense today? You want to pray in Jesus' name? You are enabled to do that. You can and you will welcome it. When you receive teaching of the Spirit who remembers Eden, teaching of the Spirit that sees behind your earthly fact and shows you the heavenly truth behind it, teaching of the Spirit that inexplicably and mind-blowingly shares with us the very thoughts of God. We'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing on these words. Amen.